New York at night illuminated by neon signs, car headlights, lights in tall skyscrapers. The name Mary Higgins Clark. A hand reaches into a jewelry case and removes a string of pearls. A woman applies lipstick, then adjusts the pearls. A drawer is opened. Inside is a gun. The woman wears earrings and a coat. She descends stairs. A man with his hands in his coat pockets strolls along beside a brick wall onto which his shadow is thrown. The woman with a large brimmed hat on her head holds the gun. With a necklace replacing the pearls, she stands legs apart, her coat open, revealing her long shapely legs and her short red figure-hugging dress. A couple kiss. The gun is raised. A police car, its lights flashing, speeds through the night. On white tape, someone starts to write the words crime scene. Mary Higgins Clark Mysteries. Mary Higgins Clark loves music, loves to dance.
I'm in the mood for you, dear.
Patsy Kensit, Cynthia Preston, Dean McDermott, Frank Pellegrino, with Yannick Bisson and Justin Lewis. In a room, a man darkens his eyebrows with a pencil. He uses a wedge-like sponge to apply foundation to his lips. He slips on a wig and stands up.
Romance is first in my mind.
Shona, a chat show host, is in a studio with three bikers.
Well, now, I don't know about that. Are these the kind of guys you want looking after your children or your grandmother?
Pen ready?
Because you know they say clothes make the man, and I can see you in a nice little three-piece suit or something. Cashmere's
and
very touchable. And
money,
I can see you nothing at all.
Okay, wrap it up.
Okay, Darcy.
Innocent motorcycle enthusiasts or dangerous criminal gangs?
Take one.
These guys, well, they say they just love to ride.
Take two.
I'm looking here and I'm thinking, well, to Shona, it looks like they are riding down the highway to hell.
Ready
what
two?
Do you say about that, audience?
Take three.
Oh.
Ready two.
Oh, my.
Take two.
They're big. This is Shona, and that's our show for today. But do tune in tomorrow when you will meet four women whose jobs have destroyed their lives. See you tomorrow.
Okay, music up. We'll take this high right. Ready to take three. Who's up?
In the gallery, the producer, Darcy Scott, sits behind the director and watches the bank of screens.
One. We're clear.
Okay, we're out. Thank you, people. Tech run 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Darcy leans back.
So, what have we got for the rest of the week?
Okay, Monday, I'm suing my folks. We've got three couples confirmed, their preteen kids and their kids' lawyers.
How does a kid that young know how to get a lawyer?
Oh, it's a whole new world out there. Tuesday, I found my birth mom. We've got five guests confirmed, two happy reunions, and one horror story. Wednesday, we're on repeats. Probably go with women who marry their ex-husband's brothers. And on Thursday, I'm pregnant by a transsexual.
How did that get in?
Shona suggested it. She said the show needed a little bit more.
Sex. Oh, maybe you haven't heard that word lately. You know, you should try watching some of those other chat shows. The ones with ratings.
Oh, now, Shona, our show's ratings.
Our shows are using topics that Oprah burnt out 20 years ago. Darcy, people today want to know about teen hookers. They want to know about illicit affairs with their in-laws. People today want to know that there are folks out there whose relationships are even more dysfunctional than their own screwed up lives. Okay, now, what is happening with that I found love on the internet or whatever that is?
It's on for this Friday. We've got two couples who found true love, three who found true lust, a woman who pretended to be wealthy and wound up getting 400 replies. I even have a friend of mine going out on a different internet date every night for a week to find out what percentage are winners.
Well, we'll see how that pans out. Look, I am warning you, honey. Ratings are harder to come by than new producers. Take care of that, will you? Excuse me. Mr. Grasso, Mr. Please. Jacobson, we so have to
talk.
Yeah, I just
loved it.
Michelle, hold a slot next week for jobs I'd like to quit.
Darcy and Michelle watch Shona with the show's backers, then walk away. The man in the room flings his arms wide open.
Showtime!
He dances with a blonde woman in a blue dress. She wears one gold shoe and one black shoe. He dances her lifeless body around a living room. Dressed in tails and wearing white gloves, he sways back and forth. At the studios, a pretty woman with long blonde hair is having makeup brushed on. Darcy and Michelle walk in.
Hey.
Hi.
I love the glamour of show business.
Well, you didn't know what you were letting yourself in for, did you?
After this, one more date, one more report, my career in show business will be over.
Oh.
Oh, wait, excuse me. Before I forget, I made something for you.
Oh.
A long pin diamante brooch.
Oh, Erin. It's beautiful.
Jessica.
Oh, thank you so much. Something to wear when we go out to meet men the old-fashioned way.
Oh, I'm sorry to put you through this.
Oh, please. I'm having fun. How often do I get to date liars, losers, and married men all in one week? I've even met a couple I might like to see again.
So who's Prince Charming tonight?
He's a mystery. All I know is he signed himself loves music, loves to dance. Ready?
Here we go, miss. On the count of three, two.
Erin to camera.
Hi, everybody. It's me again, back to report on date number six. I wanted romance. I wanted excitement. Well, number six was not the man to show them to me. Once again, true love didn't happen.
The gloved man rants.
You know what I'm doing. Don't pretend that you don't.
He's alone.
You're not doing this for me. It's for you. It's all for you. Oh, stop it! Get off your high horse! Who's the one who's always whining about not being able to find true love? I'm just trying to bring her to you. You know what happened to her. Just like all the others. Just like our dear Annie. Well, you remember her, don't you? How much you loved her? How she treated you? How she treated us?
7 years earlier, a girl with long blonde hair blows out candles on a cake. Above her, a banner reads, Happy 18th Anne. Outside, a young man stands in the shadows and looks up to the terrace where Anne is kissing someone. The man in the shadows leans against a wall and lowers his head. On the terrace,
hey, Romeo, get over here. Hey.
The kisser leaves Anne, who turns and sees the young man in the shadows slapping the wall. She goes down to him.
What are you doing out here?
They stand in the garden.
Looks like a nice party, Anne. You forgot to invite me.
We talked about this. I thought you understood. I can't play this game anymore.
I thought I understood, too. I thought we were special.
Don't do this.
We're good together, Anne.
Anne!
I brought you a birthday present. Open it. Please.
She lifts the lid off a gold-colored gift box and peels back the purple tissue paper inside.
Dancing shoes.
He grabs her arm.
Just one dance, and then I'll go away if you want.
He grips her flesh tightly. They dance.
Sienna, you're meant to be together like this.
He moves in to kiss her.
No, no, I can't do
please.
This. No, please. This is wrong.
Anne, please,
stop.
Please.
Stop.
Anne.
He forces her down onto the ground, his hands around her neck. She lies lifeless, her arms outstretched. He removes one of her shoes and replaces it with one of the blue dancing shoes he brought as a present. Snatching up the gift box and the shoe he removed, he runs off.
Anne? Anne? Anne, where are you?
The guests rush to the garden. The murderer.
I thought you'd remember that. She's out there. She has to be. Maybe the next one. We'll take a chance and find romance. And if she isn't, at least we can share a dance.
He opens a freezer. A dead Erin's inside.
I know. I wish it had been her too.
Sketches and jewelry-making tools in an apartment.
Hi, this is Erin. I'm not here right now, but don't hang up. I can't call you back unless you wait for the beep.
Erin, it's me. I'm at the studio, waiting for you to come and do your report.
You're not on your cell, and you're not at home, and I'm getting worried. So, will you call me, kid? Bye. Michelle, has Erin called?
No, but she was supposed to be here an hour ago.
And she never showed?
No.
That's so not Erin.
Maybe last night's date went better than she expected.
Oh, no. Not on a first date, no way. We've been best friends since grade school, and I know her better than anyone. One-nighters are not something she does. No, I'm getting worried. You know what? I'm gonna go over there. Yeah, hold all my calls. Anything urgent, transfer it to the cell. And if Erin calls, hook me up.
By a suspension bridge, a tower block. Darcy's at Erin's apartment door.
Erin? Erin?
She lets herself in with a key.
Erin? Are you here?
She walks through the open-plan apartment and upstairs to the work area, which is screened off from the rest of the apartment. She lays down her jacket and goes to Erin's PC. She finds the Lovers and Life website. She clicks on Erin's contacts, which includes Love's Music, Love's to Dance. She presses Erin's answer phone.
Erin, it's me. I'm at the studio, waiting for you to come and do your report. You're not in your cell, and you're not at home.
Hi, Erin. This is Tom Souther. I got your email about my personal ad, and I've been trying to get in touch with you. I just found a great new restaurant in the village, and I'd love to take you there. Call me.
Erin, Paul Nash. I guess I'm just calling to say I enjoyed meeting you the other night, and I'd really like to see you again. If you have a chance, call me back.
Erin, it's Aldo at Fogolar. Mrs. Abdullah was here for her necklace 2 hours ago. This is a $40,000 transaction. Call me, please.
The door to Erin's apartment opens, and a man with working boots, gardening gloves, and a check shirt steps in. Oblivious, Darcy takes a printout from the printer. The man strides across to Erin's bed, which is behind a net drape. He pulls back the drape, picks up a sweater, and sniffs it. Hearing him, Darcy looks round the screen.
Erin? What are you doing here?
The man drops the sweater.
Erin said the window was broken.
Listen, is that why you're fondling her clothing?
I came in to fix the window, that's all. The sweater fell down, I picked it up. I wasn't doing nothing.
How did you get in here?
I'm a supervisor. Got keys to all the apartments. Feel like, gotta fix something.
When did she tell you about the window?
Yesterday morning, maybe. Maybe the day before. I'm busy.
Just get out!
The man glances at Darcy as he makes his way to the door. He turns round and glares at her as he leaves.
Erin, where are you?
The living room with a glitter ball effect where the man in white gloves dances with Erin. He swings the lifeless body in his arms. Her feet drag across a rug.
Oh, yeah. Let's get together.
As they dance, a signet ring with the letter E on it falls from Erin's finger. The 19th Precinct.
Ma'am, there's nothing I can do for you right now.
In the case of an adult, we can't take a missing persons report until 48 hours after the disappearance.
What are you talking about?
People usually show up within that time. Your friend's probably okay.
If you were okay, she would have gotten in touch with me by now. Now, I need to talk to someone who can help me.
Ma'am, there's a procedure.
Look, just so you know, I'm the producer of The Shona Show. And I guarantee you that your procedure will be the focus of a special edition. Let's see what the rest of the country thinks about it, huh?
I'm Detective DeSalvo. May I help you?
Yes. My friend has gone missing, and this sergeant here says he can't do anything for 48 hours. I mean, I know that something's wrong.
Miss Scott.
Darcy Scott.
Well, Miss Scott, I'm sorry. I don't know what we can do for you right now. You know, to investigate every person that doesn't come home for an evening, that isn't very practical. People usually show up.
Oh, so you have to wait until someone's in the hospital or the morgue before you can do anything.
All right, why don't we take this upstairs?
Yeah.
The desk sergeant laughs.
Don't even think about it, sir. She eats you alive, man.
This is how it works. Unless there's evidence of a crime, I can't do anything for the 48-hour period. You grab your chair. Hey, is there any chance that you might have met somebody?
Well, she was working on a project for a TV show that I produce. She's been dating men on the internet.
So she was on a date? Yeah, I don't know how to put this.
My friend is not someone that sleeps with complete strangers, and she's certainly not someone that doesn't show up for a business meeting. Now, something has definitely happened to her, and I need the police to help me find her.
Well, the most I can do for you right now is I can take a description, maybe a photo if you have one. I'll keep an eye out for any reports that match your description, and I'll call you back as soon as I can take it on as missing persons. Okay?
I guess that's all I'm going to get now, right?
That's all we can do right now.
Okay. Here's her picture.
She takes it from her bag and gives it to him.
Pretty girl.
Does that mean you're going to look harder?
I'm just trying to help, Miss Scott.
I know. I'm sorry. I've written Erin's height and weight and her home number and my cell number are on the back of the picture.
I'll call you as soon as I find out anything.
She shakes his hand and leaves, glancing back as she does so. Night. Police carry out a spot check on a car causing a tailback. The man in white gloves is caught up in it.
I know it's a spot check. They won't find the body. We're not gonna get caught!
He sees an alley.
In there. In there.
The body, wrapped in a blanket, is in the back of the car. The man drives into the alley. He pulls up by a pile of full black plastic bin bags. A homeless man is lying among the bin bags. He looks up and sees the man in white gloves open the tailgate and lift the body from the car. Clutching a bottle in a bag, he screws up his eyes as the man dumps the body. The car reverses right up to the man on the ground and stops. It has a Mercedes logo. The car drives off. The scruffy-looking homeless man, unshaven and wearing a dirty, unkempt coat, gets up and watches the car screech out of the alley. He walks over to the bundle on the ground and unfolds the blanket. He sees Erin's clothed body in a transparent plastic wrap. He rips off the necklace she was wearing. He places it in his pocket. He turns the body over. There's bruising on Erin's neck. He removes his grubby hand. He looks about, then scuttles out of the alley. Day. Darcy, followed by Michelle, enters her office at the studios.
Okay. These are the files Aaron made on the dates. Now, the police want copies. I want the originals. I also want copies of the videotape she did for us.
Think the personals might have something to do with her disappearance?
Yeah. What else am I supposed to think?
Shona enters.
Darcy, I am still waiting for the information you promised me on the internet personals. Where are they?
We have a problem.
What?
One of our guests have disappeared. We think it might have something to do with one of the dates she went on.
You know, that'll be great. The dark side of the personals. Stalkers, serial killers, sexual perverts. It'll make a great capper for the show.
You know this girl who's missing? Mm. She's my best friend.
Wait, Oh, look at the time. I have to go. I'm sorry about your friend, though. I'm sorry. Oh.
Hey, does anybody...
Look, there's always time to get fired. Let's just concentrate on finding Aaron, okay?
At the alley, yellow police tape is stretched across the entrance.
Hey, Joey, put the hand here.
Yeah. No, just do as fast as you can.
A forensics guy in a suit removes medical gloves and crosses to Detective DeSalva, who's crouched beside Aaron's body.
You think you can ID her?
Name's Aaron Kelly. Friend reported missing a couple days ago.
There's the who. You got the why to go with it?
No, but I got an angle. You think that's from a ligature?
Yeah, no, not deep enough. It doesn't go all around the neck.
She got these cuts after death, you know, from a necklace or a chain she was wearing.
And those bruises, they show that she was strangled.
When you do the workup, I need to know about any sexual activity in the last 48 hours.
Well, I gotta warn you, all our readings are gonna come from this one. I did an internal temp reading to determine the time of death. She's still frozen on the inside.
She was what?
Like whoever did this, he froze her after he killed her.
The salver glances at the different shoes on Evan's feet.
Meanwhile, I gotta make a call I don't want to make.
Night. Darcy's in the passenger seat of DeSalva's car. He's driving.
Look, if it's easier on you, we could wait till one of her relatives comes by.
She didn't have any. Neither of us did. It's like we were each other's family.
Look, Darcy, I don't want you to have any illusions here. I'm sure it's your friend we found. Your ID is just a formality.
I know. I'll be okay.
At the morgue, Darcy stares at the body from behind glass.
Okay.
Yeah. A sheet is pulled down.
It's my fault. Oh, God.
Listen, it's your fault, Darcy.
I made her go on a personal date. She didn't want to do it, but I convinced her to.
Listen, oh, Darcy, this was not you.
It was me. I got my best friend killed.
She weeps on his shoulder as curtains are drawn.
All right, so show me what you got. Okay, that's good. So check it out. Get back to me ASAP. Okay, Gino.
DeSalva, forensics, photographers, and uniformed cops at an Aaron's apartment.
Good, thanks.
DeSalva climbs stairs to join Darcy in the work area. Bits and pieces of metal for making up Erin's jewelry are spread out in front of Darcy.
All the pieces she'll never finish?
There are marks of a necklace being ripped from her neck. Would you know if she was wearing a necklace the night of her date?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also marks on her finger from a ring she might have been wearing?
That was, it was her signet ring. It has an E on it. You're not treating this as a robbery, are you?
Look, I don't know what to think of this yet. Could be something that simple.
It's the personals, I tell you. It's some creep that she met who didn't know anything about her, and he just killed her. All for some stupid show.
Darcy, So why don't we sit down and talk? Okay?
He escorts her down to the living area.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. I want you to tell me about Erin. Was there anyone else in her life? Was there somebody she might have been scared of?
Well, the superhero is a guy named Gus Boxer, and when I came here the other day, he was going through Erin's clothes, which I thought was creepy, and he said that he'd come to fix a broken window, but I couldn't find one that was broken.
Did she have any other, boyfriends, lovers?
She was seeing a jewelry buyer from San Francisco, but they broke up a year ago.
What, was that a fight?
No, it was just distance. But what about the personals that I gave you? Have you looked into them?
Well, I've done more than that. My people are interviewing everyone on Erin's list of dates, and even people she messaged and wasn't able to make a date with. You gotta understand something here. This wasn't your fault. I know this hurts, but it's not gonna help Erin, and it's not gonna help anybody for you to beat yourself up like this, you know?
You obviously just don't understand how I'm feeling, Detective.
I know how you feel, Darcy, because I've had to tell too many families that their loved ones have been murdered. And in most cases, the ones that really cared anyway, they feel like they're traitors because they're still alive and they're still breathing, and it's... Excuse me. Add the salvo.
He listens, then glances across at the tearful Darcy.
No, I'm still here.
He walks away.
Only the one? Alright, what's the brother's name? Address? Right, thanks.
What was that?
I fed the details of Erin's murder into VICAP. VICAP's a national crime database that was created by a cop years ago named Pierce Brooks, and it's really the best way we have to find a pattern in repeat killers.
You mean he's killed before?
It kicked out another murder from 7 years ago. A young woman upstate was murdered, found wearing one of her own shoes. The other one was a high-heeled dancing shoe. Listen, Darcy, I'm going to go interview the victim's brother. Now, you want to tag along? I mean, maybe something he says might link up with something you know about Erin.
Yeah, thank you.
He picks up his jacket and hers as they leave the apartment. The large house where Anne was murdered 7 years earlier, the terrace, the steps, a pond, all bathed in sunshine. A maid brings a tray outside. She sets cream and sugar from it onto a table.
Do I remember anything about my sister's murder? I remember everything, Detective. I remember every moment. I remember that night and every day afterwards.
So you were close.
We were more than close. You see, we were twins. Everything we did, the other one was part of it. It was like we were two halves of something. And then Anne was gone. And everything changed.
Was there anyone special? Maybe your sister was seeing at the time?
My sister was a very beautiful, very popular woman. Everybody wanted her. Nobody was worthy of her. Why are you asking me these questions now? I thought you forgot about Anne a long time ago.
Well, there was a murder 2 days ago, and a friend of mine...
Details of the crime were similar to those of your sister's murder. The victims were found wearing mismatched shoes.
One of them a dance shoe?
DeSalva nods.
She was strangled.
He's still out there, isn't he? I want to thank you for keeping my mother out of this, Detective. I appreciate it.
Mr. Sheridan, I wonder if you have any old photos, yearbooks, anything that might help us link someone you and your sister knew back then to
Someone who might have come into contact with our current victim?
Yeah, I'll pull everything from the attic and I'll have it for you this afternoon.
Thank you.
I know how painful it must be talking about your sister's murder again. I'm so sorry.
I've gone as far as I can go with the pain. I just don't know how I feel anymore.
All right, we should go. Thank you. Oh, I gotta ask you one more thing for the record. Where were you on Tuesday night?
In my gallery, detective. I was there from 9 a.m. till well after midnight. I had an opening and a reception afterwards. You can check with the 60 people who were on the guest list. Am I a suspect here?
I just had to ask.
Thank you for your help.
De Salva and Darcy shake hands with the tall, slim, bespectacled Craig Sheridan. He glances inside at his mother, whose head has turned away. Darcy and De Salva are shown out.
Thank you.
I can't believe you think he's a suspect.
Look, you do this long enough, you realize everyone's a suspect.
Yeah, but after what happened to his sister?
Well, maybe because of what happened to his sister. Who knows? I mean, something could have broken in the guy. You know, that's something about that twin thing and that more than a sister made me uncomfortable.
Well, from where I was sitting, all I could see was somebody who's suffering from grief. Exactly what I'm feeling right now. Does that make me a suspect?
Look, there's a procedure. I gotta cover the bases.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the personals. One of those guys that Aaron dated killed her.
I'm telling you, we're covering that angle. Especially your last date.
Loves music, loves to dance?
Yeah, he was registered at the internet personal sites as a Charles Firth, address in Queens. Now, it turns out Mr. Firth has a history of sexual interference. He hasn't been coming home for the last few days, but my guys picked up his trail a few hours ago.
So you got him?
All we gotta do now is prove he did it. Seatbelt, please.
Night. A boat plows through choppy waters in the bay. A yellow cab pulls up on a suburban street. A passenger climbs out. He runs around the back of the cab to open the near side door.
I got it for you. Whoop. Watch your step here. Watch it. Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Bye.
Let me walk out through the door.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, this is a nice place. Oh, watch your step.
It's very nice, Charles.
Yes,
it was a great night. It was a good night.
So let me get this one last door for you.
Thanks, Charles. Okay, that's enough.
I think we need a night.
No, I think we've had enough.
Oh, okay. I wasn't talking about a drink.
Don't do this.
Oh, come on.
No.
I know you want this as much as I do.
No,
come on.
No.
Two men run inside the apartment block and haul him off the woman.
Take it easy.
All right. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I didn't kill anybody. I never met anyone named there. Kelly.
Sure about that? She's got a record of making a date with you on the internet. She even told her friend she was going to meet you.
Internet? I don't even have a computer. You are definitely looking at the wrong guy.
I'm looking at a guy who's facing a sexual assault charge with two officers as witnesses. That's what I'm looking at. Now, from where I'm sitting, you're looking good for that murder, too.
You said this murder was supposed to have happened on Tuesday, right?
That's right.
Yeah, well, I was in Atlanta on business since Monday. I was with people Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights.
Well, that sounds convenient.
No, it sounds like a business trip. Look, I got flight itineraries, I got ticket stubs, hotel bills, you name it.
Come on, Atlanta's not that far away. How'd it work? What'd you do? You had a little dinner with somebody, take a late flight back to New York, and you hooked up with Aaron, am I right?
You want the names of the people I was with those nights? Fine, I'll give them to you.
Call them yourself, please.
Good.
Darcy listens in to De Salva's interview with Charles. De Salva leaves the room.
Hey, I want to talk to my lawyer now.
Wait up,
man.
Well?
You saw that. Got us nowhere. I got a feeling his alibi would cover off the night Aaron was killed.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying is that it's going to take a lot more work to pin anything on this guy.
So you're letting him go?
Look, that ad, that was placed the night before she disappeared, all right, by someone who knew her. Probably by someone who registered using Charles First identity, setting the guy up. I don't know, maybe somebody she went on a date with. All right, but we've interviewed all these guys, and they've come up clean.
Well, you have to interview them again.
Well, we still don't know that her death had anything to do with these ads.
Of course it was something to do with the ads.
I met somebody in a bar. Now, I'm done talking to you. Taking you home.
He ushers her out of the precinct. Press and photographers flock to them.
Detective, what can you give us on the Aaron Kelly murder?
Nothing.
Is it true there are similarities in this murder to one which took place 7 years ago, that mismatched shoes were found on the woman's feet?
Yeah, I have no comment at this time. Detective, because of these similarities, do
Do you feel that the Erin Kelly murder was done by a serial killer?
You know, that would be impossible to determine at this point.
You have to admit that two murders exactly the same way is more than a coincidence.
Coincidence happens a lot in my business.
Detective, are you saying it's the work of a copycat murder?
Copycat? I didn't say anything.
No, they can't say that. They're mine. They're both mine. But leave me alone. I'm going to prove to them that Erin was mine. And Anne. And all the others. It's time for them to declare themselves. Even if they were too weak to love me, they're still mine. We won't get caught. You are so weak.
Shoeboxes with names on them, including Erin's.
I'm just going to send out some presents. They'll know I'm no copycat.
At the Sheridan residence, the maid brings the mail, including a parcel, to Mrs. Sheridan, who looks quizzically at it. A woman hands her husband a similar parcel.
Mail, honey.
Thanks, babe.
A woman in receipt of yet another parcel opens a note with it. It's similar to the notes received by the others. The letters, cut from magazines, read, "I would like to thank you for providing me with such a lovely dance partner." Inside each parcel are the dead woman's shoe and a dancing shoe. Craig Sheridan comforts his mother.
Okay, everybody, listen up. This is what we got. Earlier today, six families were delivered anonymous packages containing mismatched pairs of shoes. Now, in each case, one of the shoes belonged to their missing daughter. The other was a high-heeled dancing shoe. One of the families was the Sheridan family, whose daughter was killed 7 years ago. Now, that means, including Erin Kelly, our killer has done this at least seven times. Now, that means the murder of Erin Kelly is now officially the work of a serial killer. Notes in each of the boxes thanking the families for providing him with such lovely dancing partners. Pass these out. Now, the shoes, boxes, and notes are in forensics being dusted for prints, scanned for fibers, dust, whatever. Now, listen up, guys. The chances are good our killer's smart enough not to have left any traces, but this is the time we've got to keep up the pressure. If this guy's going public, now's the time he's going to slip up. Something he does is going to tell us more than he intended to. I want you guys to talk to the family, see what else that they can fill in. We know who the victims are. Let's find out if there are any connections between them. I have circulated photographs of Erin's jewelry to the newspapers. Foot patrols are making the rounds of the jewelry stores and pawn shops in the area. Okay, we're done. Guys, one more thing. Remember, when a case like this becomes a media feast, we're on the menu too. Anything that screws up from here on in, it's on our heads. Go get them.
As the detectives and the uniformed police break up from the briefing, Darcy rushes into the room and goes up to DeSalva.
I've got your message. Have you found anything out?
Slow down. I didn't ask you down here to give you a report. Now look, you become too close to this investigation. I need you to back off.
Back off?
I need you to back off, Darcy. Look, I know Erin was your best friend, but I can't wage war against these guys just because they dated her. And I don't want you to meddle in something that's going to screw up my investigation or get you hurt.
I'm sorry, but that's just not good enough. I guess if you want something done, you have to do it yourself.
Darcy, no, look, I don't want...
What happened to Erin was my fault. I can't just not do anything.
Darcy!
She strides away from the office. The homeless man is selling Erin's necklace.
Yes, Ned. Say that because I think that's good, yeah. No, that's good, yeah.
Good.
Good. Here you go.
That's good.
Don't spend it all in the same place.
That's good.
Go ahead now.
He gets $20.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wearing a grubby striped vest, the shopkeeper who bought the necklace shakes his head and goes into his shop. Darcy stares at a graduation photo of Erin and herself. A flashback to the photo being taken, and another of them dancing.
Make them pay.
The five website contacts, Corporate Cat, Soulster, Searching for Truth, Ladies Man, and Loves Music, Loves to Dance.
One of you killed my friend. Now, which one of you did it?
She selects Corporate Catch and starts to type. Hi, my name's Cleo and I liked your ad. I thought maybe we could get together. She hits the send icon. A dialogue box opens, message delivered. She clicks OK. Darcy sits staring at the laptop screen as if mesmerized. A response comes through from Corporate Catch. Got your message. Prepare for your life to be changed forever. Darcy's eyes are fixed on the screen. In her office...
I've got everything you asked for. Erin's video reports on the first six men she dated. And I've also done some internet research on all of them.
Great. And what did you find out?
Exactly what that detective said you'd find. They're all supposedly upstanding members of the community.
Come in.
Craig Sheridan enters.
Mr. Sheridan.
Please call me Craig.
Craig, hi.
Hi. I'm sorry to just drop by like this, but I was wondering if you had a few minutes to talk and maybe look at some photos.
Oh, sure, that's fine. Michelle, can you give us a minute?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Come sit down.
I'm sorry I don't have a lot of time, but I think I found something that might help solve your friend's murder.
Why didn't you take it to Detective DeSalva?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I found him to be less than forthcoming.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Back in high school, I didn't know a lot of people in the younger grades, but when I heard they arrested someone by the name of Firth, I thought I'd take a look in the yearbook again.
A photograph of a younger, long-haired Charles.
That's him.
I don't know how well she would have known him, but it's a connection.
No, even Detective DeSalva can't ignore this. Can I get it to him?
Please. Anne's dying taught me a lesson. Everything changes. You can't trust anyone or anything to be there forever. I don't know, I guess that's why I don't stop trying.
Of course not. It's all you can do. Craig, thank you.
No troubles.
Goodbye.
Bye.
She shakes his hand and sits down behind her desk as he leaves the office. Michelle glances back at him as she rushes in.
Not bad. Now that's who you should be planning to go out on a date with.
Let's just stick to the business at hand, shall we?
Look, Darcy, I gotta be honest with you. I don't like what you're doing here.
Michelle, I'm going to do this. Now, are you gonna help me or not?
Fine. Let's just start with the first guy you made a date with, okay?
Okay.
Michelle slots a VHS in a player and presses the remote. They watch Erin appear on screen.
Is it on? Are we rolling?
You gonna be okay with this?
Yeah, just keep it going.
Okay, bachelor number one, Len Palmer. In his ad, he said he was a big-time entrepreneur, called himself Corporate Catch. What I found out was he was really just giving me the business.
He suggested meeting me at an upscale broker bar off Wall Street, but I felt safer insisting on our old stomping ground, the Left Bank. According to him, his whole life was stock options and world traveling, but I checked him out on a search engine and found out he's really a janitor at NYU. He seemed harmless for the most part until I tripped him up in one of his lies, and then suddenly it's, hello, psycho. Bachelor number one, not a keeper.
Here goes nothing.
Darcy's on a date.
Hey.
Hi.
Len Palmer.
Hi.
I took the liberty of ordering us some champagne.
Oh, that's nice.
Man, you are something to look at. Believe it or not, a lot of the girls you meet this way are not oil paintings.
So, you date like this often?
Yeah, I get out pretty often. When I'm not in meetings, I run a couple of dot-com companies. You know, lots of pressure, lots of money flying around.
Sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah. And I don't really have a lot of time to meet women in the normal way, so I got on the internet, you know? And like I said, it's not often you get lucky, unlike tonight.
Looking edgy and awkward, Darcy grins at Corporate Catch.
There was this one cute girl last week. And to get this, she was the one they found dead in the alley by the water.
Really?
Yeah. But I wasn't gonna see her again. You know, she was stuck up. You know what I mean? She thought she was better than everyone else. I could tell. She probably had it coming. You know, she probably pushed someone just too far and just lost it on her.
You think so, huh?
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Not something like that. But I was over her the next night anyways. The night she died, I was dating three women. When something isn't working, I like to move on fast.
Yep.
It's lucky I had the alibi, too, because the cops actually questioned me, thought I had something to do with it. But I was alibied up the wazoo.
She tips the table.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's going on? Where are you going?
You know what? If something's not working, I believe in moving on fast, too.
Oh, I get it. You're in this attitude, too. Well, you better watch it, lady. So you might end up like that other broad.
Her date leaves. An older, gray-haired man has been keeping an eye on Darcy. She sits back down.
Hello?
How'd it go?
I just left. It was awful. You know, he said Erin deserved what happened to her, and that the same might happen to me, too.
He threatened you?
Not really, but there's a lot of anger there. I'm sure he didn't show that to the police.
Darcy, you've got to give this up.
I can't. Not yet, anyway. Michelle, I'm going to call you back. There's someone I want to check out.
She spotted the man watching her. Darcy puts cash on the table and heads for the man. He sees her coming, beats a retreat, and leaves. He pushes his way through the crowded bar, Darcy following him.
Excuse me.
She runs out onto the sidewalk and looks around. There's no sign of him. She spins around 360 degrees and rests her hands on her waist. A new day.
Michelle, I told you I wasn't in any danger. The bar was full of people. He couldn't have done anything.
And what would you have done if he had seen where he'd gone to outside the bar, huh?
Don't worry. Put this on for me, please. Thank you.
She hands Michelle another VHS, which she slots in.
Okay, day two of Erin's Adventures in Internet Romance. Now, this one was full of surprises. Turns out he's a psychologist. And what I found out after we'd been talking for a while was why he was doing the internet dating. He's writing a book on it. Can you believe that?
All the time I was there studying him, he was doing research on me. He called himself Soulster. And what I found out was what was attached to the mind wasn't too shabby either.
Darcy goes on a date.
If the rest are all as nice as Dr. Paul Nash, this promises to be a very interesting week.
Okay, Doctor. Let's see how interesting you really are.
She approaches the handsome Paul Nash.
Soulstra?
Paul Nash.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Sam.
Yeah. I didn't keep you waiting, did I?
That's all right. You're worth the wait. Can I order you a drink?
I need one. White wine, please.
Hard day?
It's been a hard week, and it's a long way from being over.
Yeah, I know the feeling. So, what gets a beautiful girl like you interested in answering personal ads?
Well, I'm checking it out for a friend, you might say.
Well, that's a very nice thing to do for a friend. You must care a lot about her.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much. But anyway, what about you? You don't look like a guy that needs to advertise for a date.
Well, looks can be deceiving. Deep down, I have a very shy streak.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. What are you hiding?
What do you suspect?
I don't know. Maybe you have a secret life. Maybe secretly, you're an artist or a CIA agent. Maybe even a dancer.
Really? What makes you think that?
I don't know. You look like a dancer. Those look like dancing shoes.
I'm not much for dancing.
Why? It's not because you're scared of girls, is it? Or maybe girls are scared of you.
What I am scared of is undercover police officers using entrapment techniques.
What are you talking about?
My career is exposing people's secrets. Rarely have I seen it done as clumsily as you've been doing it. You're trying to expose me as Eric Kelly's killer. Wasting your time.
Wait. I'm not the police.
Look, I don't have time for this. I've already proven that I'm innocent, and I don't like deception.
I'm a friend of Aaron's. My name's Darcy Scott.
Paul glances around, then looks straight at her.
You're Darcy.
She talked about me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Most of our conversations were about you. What impressed me so much about her was her friendship with you, her loyalty. She said you were the best.
I'm responsible for what happened to her. I got it into the personals in the first place. It was for a story I was doing for a TV show. A story I'm still trying to finish.
Yeah, she told me. Actually, we had to laugh. She was dating me as material for a talk show, and I was dating her for my book. For the past 8 months, I've been dating women from internet personals for a book I've been writing. The Electronic Love Connection. I've delivered the first 10 chapters to my publisher.
She talked about your book, but it was on tape. Paul, you've been studying this. The kind of people that go on these dates that...
I'd like to think I've become something of an expert.
I mean, how will the police find them?
Well, that's the thing, Darcy. The serial killers can be invisible for the most part. They're just like you or me.
They must have some similarities, some common traits.
He's probably in his 20s or 30s. Charming, outgoing, most likely abused as a child. Many killers develop elaborate fantasy worlds they live in to insulate themselves from the outside world. There'll be lies, delusions of grandeur.
Go ahead.
Look, Darcy, making a TV show is one thing. But you should leave the homicide investigation to the police, really.
Yeah, well, thanks for the information, Paul.
Sure. Well, listen, why don't you give me a call if I can be of any help? Maybe we can compare notes, your show, my book.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
The man with the gray hair is watching her.
Something wrong?
When she looks again, he's gone.
It's just... I think someone's following me, but...
Oh?
No. No.
Maybe I'll drop you off.
That'd be great.
On Shona's chat show...
Listen, for those of you who tuned in a little late, today's topic is... bigamy. And my guests are Mark Webb and his luscious ladies. Over here we have Lindsay,
that's all right.
Nicole, Debbie,
ready, one.
Ruth, and
take one.
Hope.
And
now, we've all heard their stories.
Start feeding
now,
the calls.
Shona, hear from you at home.
Camera one.
Shona is going to the phone. First caller.
Hey, Shona, I want to know about the sleeping arrangement.
Ready, one.
Frankly, I don't see how there could be enough of Mark
and
to go around.
Take one.
What you got to say to that, girls?
Take
are
two.
You kidding? Mark's a madman. We might need a few more just to keep up.
Shona must be thrilled. We're hitting a new low in the network
All right,
TV.
Now. Next caller, please.
I wanted to talk to you, Shona.
What? Okay. What you want to ask Shona, honey?
They've all got their shoes back by now, haven't
they? Oh, go for the shoes on three. Shoes.
Yes, shoes.
And?
That's right. They're all wearing their shoes, girls.
And
girls
four.
Got their shoes on. Which one?
Shot.
Not them.
Hold there and take
the
two.
The girls I took. Like Aaron Kelly.
Now, look, this is becoming a bad joke, okay? Shona's gonna go to the next caller.
Get on the prompter. Tell him to keep him talking.
Caller, come back. Come back, caller.
Detective, tell him what's happening.
For you. Now, when you talk about these girls and when you took these girls, now, what do you mean by that?
I just want them all to know I'm just doing it for love.
I just want to find somebody who really, really just loved me. None of them have had the strength.
Caller, how do I know you're telling me the truth when you talk about Aaron Kelly?
Why don't you check the call display?
Oh my God, he's calling from Aaron's apartment! Tell him! Keep him talking!
Don't lose him!
I do it for love. Just tell them, Shona.
It's all about love.
Holding the receiver in a hanky, he hangs up.
Caller, Shona has another couple questions she wants to call her.
Go to commercial. Go to commercial now. Come.
Oh. Darcy covers her eyes and weeps. In Ellen's apartment, the caller picks up the graduation photograph. Holding one edge with the handkerchief, he folds the photo and rips it in half. His thumb caresses Darcy's image. Erin's apartment building. Her apartment is filled with police.
All right, so get back to us right away.
Ma'am, you can't come in?
She's all right. Let her in.
Thank you.
Darcy runs up to DeSalva.
Did you find anything?
Yeah, it was long gone when we got here. Probably won't make much of a difference, but we're going to do another footprint workup.
Someone must have seen something.
We're canvassing the building floor by floor. You know, but so far, nothing. Well, by the way, I'm going to bring in the super for questioning. Went into his place and we found a collection of women's underwear. Probably hit every woman in the building.
What did he have? He has a key.
Whoever killed Erin had access to her purse. He's not going to help us nail Boxer. Right? Anyway, we've got a bigger problem. You've got a bigger problem.
The torn photograph.
That was a photo of Erin and me. Mm-hmm.
Wherever this guy is, he knows who you are. It was no coincidence he phoned the Shona show.
What are you saying?
What am I saying? And I'm saying this for the last time, Darcy, is I want you to stay out of this. Right? And if your friend Craig Sheridan calls, you tell him that Firth was at a summer cottage in Vermont at the time of his sister's murder. All right? I need the both of you to stay out of this. Okay? Gino.
Yeah?
Make sure she gets home safe, okay? Yeah. And have White call me as soon as he reports in.
Gotcha.
Yeah, DeSalva. Yeah, when do you call in? Yeah, I'm on my way.
This is wrong. I called you guys and offered this up. I'm trying to help you.
Well, is that helpful or is that a guilty conscience? Because, I mean, you gotta know something about this guy.
All right, I told you. Calls himself Petey. He used to bring me something every once in a while. He's just another loser.
So I guess him coming in with a necklace worth a couple $1,000s, that they make you at all suspicious.
You know what? If something's already on the reports, I call it in. Otherwise, it's not a plus asking questions in my business.
You have any idea where this Petey lives?
Lives? He's homeless. He probably lives in a refrigerator box by the docks.
The pawn shop owner throws his arms in the air and jacks his head. The DeSalva leaves.
All right, let's get this mook to do a photo ID, distribute to anyone patrolling the docks. We keep up the pressure, we'll get him.
Date number 3, David Voss, ladies' wear buyer. I was introduced to him under the screen name Searching for Truth. David's another nice guy, just lonely and looking for love. To tell you the truth, I kind of felt guilty about using him for the story, but nobody's really going to get hurt, right?
I started in sportswear, but over the years I've moved on to ladies' formal wear. It's where you want to be, prestige, you know? But you've got to have taste. You've got to know what's going to sell, what the look will be 8 months down the line. You could do it. I can tell by the way you put yourself together. Especially the shoes.
Shoes?
I know shoes. And those are great. Italian, probably Milan, probably Bruno Mali.
You're right. You do know your shoes.
I bought shoes for Macy's for 2 years. That was when I started spending so much time on the road all the time. Fashion houses in Europe and Asia, all across the States. I guess that's the problem with the job, is there's no time to meet anybody and no way to make it work, even if you do.
Have you been on the road much lately?
Well, perfect example. Last week, I met a great girl, one of these personal dates. I would have liked to have followed up, but next day I had to fly out to the coast for 5 days. When I get back, I tried to call her, but they said she was dead. Murdered, can you believe it? That's the problem with this town. Even if you can get a relationship started, you need to stay alive long enough to enjoy it.
I know exactly what you mean. Now, date number 4. Date number 4 takes the cake. A blind dater's nightmare, Dilbert Booth. He said he was a skier, a golfer, a dancer. He also said he wasn't married. He should have at least covered the tan line from his wedding band.
You know what the problem is with relationships? All the bull. I mean, you meet people, especially meeting people like this on the net. You don't know who the hell they are.
Have you experienced a lot of lying?
Are you kidding? Everybody on these dates has a secret life.
Do you?
Hey, no. I'm just looking for someone to be real with me.
Someone who knows what love's about. I'm a romantic. All these people, they're just playing games. So what do you think? Are you a romantic?
What makes me think you've said all this before to other girls?
I've offered. The right girl hasn't come along yet. It's always about the games. You just can't trust them. If you can't trust them, what's the point?
I have to go to the ladies' room.
He grasps Darcy's hand. She snatches it away and rises from the table. He grins and sips his wine. Her coat on, she rushes outside. She's on her cell phone.
Hi, Michelle. It's me. I've just walked out on the date with Booth. I don't know what the police saw when they interviewed him, but what I saw was pretty scary. I think he could be the one, yeah. Okay.
Hey!
He's followed her out.
What do you think you're doing?
I was making a call.
No, you're making me look like an idiot by walking out on me.
You know what? I don't need this, okay?
I'm not done talking to you.
She sprays his face. Two men grab him.
My eyes! Take it easy! What did you do that for? Get him out of here!
The gray-haired man.
Take the boy. Are you all right? It's okay. We got him.
Why didn't you tell me you were having me followed, Detective?
I was just protecting someone who doesn't have the sense to take care of herself. Well, what did you think I was going to do? Just leave you out there as a target?
I noticed you're a man. And if one of those men killed Aaron, they probably noticed him, too.
Hey, can you give us some credit, Darcy? That guy was there for you.
Give you some credit? You give me some credit. You got him because of me.
Got him? Got him for what?
Your man saw how he assaulted me.
Yeah, how you pepper sprayed him. Listen, you're going to start throwing around assault charges. You'll probably be filing some of his own.
Whose side are you on?
I'm looking at this the way that I have to, right? Like a professional. I don't think Booth is our man. I got a witness that puts him at his in-law's 50th anniversary party in Rochester during the time of Aaron's disappearance. I need you to stop doing what you're doing. You understand that?
I'm not wrong about this. One of those men that Aaron dated killed her. I know it. I feel it.
You know, maybe you're right. But all I know is that they've got solid alibis during the time of Aaron's disappearance.
You know, all I'm trying to do
what
is...
What you're gonna do is get yourself assaulted.
Darcy glares at DeSalva.
Thank you, Detective.
She walks out of the office. Detective White stares at DeSalva. In a bar...
I'm sorry to burden you like this, Paul. I guess you get a steady diet of people's problems every day.
Well, this is different. It's my problem, too. I know I only knew Aaron for one night, but... she was the type of person you thought you could really like. The thought of her dying the way she did, being dumped in an alley, it's not easy on me either. But it gave me a chance to meet you.
Well, I'm an easy read. I'm early 30s. Already disillusioned with my job. No boyfriend. No pets. No, Aaron.
Well, I see the things you do have. Beauty, compassion, loyalty, and lots of potential.
Don't you say that to all your patients?
Not allowed. Only to women I'd like to see a lot more of.
A hand in a black glove drums the steering wheel of a car parked opposite the bar. Its driver can clearly see Darcy and Paul at their table by the window.
Darcy, I wish you would stay out of this investigation. It's a police matter.
That's what the police keep telling me.
This isn't the dating game. You keep nosing around long enough, you could get yourself hurt again. I know you cared about Aaron, but there are people who care about you. Just leave it alone. Let the police do their job.
I just want to understand what happened on those damn dates. Can I go to the bathroom?
Darcy gets up and moves away from the table. Paul sits back, takes a business card and a cell phone from his pocket and keys in a number. DeSalva answers his phone.
DeSalva.
Detective DeSalva.
This is Paul Nash. Do you remember me? I'm one of the men who dated Erin Kelly.
Yeah, I remember you. What can I do for you, Dr. Nash?
It's about Darcy Scott and how you're letting her get herself killed.
Setting her up as bait.
What the hell are you talking about? I told her to stay out of the investigation. You understand me?
That goes for you, too.
Paul stares at his cell phone. He looks pensive. Day, Darcy is at the laptop in the office. She's on the Lovers and Life website. Michelle hands her a mug.
Darcy, I really wish you'd stop all this Charlie's Angel stuff.
You sound like Detective DeSalva.
Darcy sips from the mug, then glances closely at the screen. There's a message from Ladies Man. Working on West Side, how about Eddie's on 4th, 8 p.m.? Darcy types a reply from Cleo. Make it the left bank on 5th. See you at 9. She sits back and stares at the screen. She reads the reply from Ladies Man. Can't wait for 9. I love music. Love to dance. She picks up her office phone.
Salva.
It's Darcy Scott. I just got another message from the personal ads.
What kind of message, Darcy?
Well, the message ended with loves music, loves to dance.
The Salva sits up.
Where?
Well, I said the left bank at 9 o'clock.
I still don't feel good about you doing this.
This is the last time. I promise.
All right, we're going to be all over that bar, inside and out. Someone makes a move on you, even looks at you halfway suspicious, we're taking them down.
But that's all I could ask for.
All right, why don't you call me when you're leaving work? I have one of my guys pick you up in the cab.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Darcy turns back to the laptop.
I love music too. Let's dance.
Night. Lights illuminate two bridges close together. A squad car passes the homeless man sleeping in a doorway. The car stops and reverses. A torch shines on the man's face.
Hey!
The killer dances in his room.
Of course I'm happy! I've got a date to go dancing! Oh, you just relax a little bit, you'd be happy too! Oh, we won't get caught! This one's different. This one's coming to us. And this one's ready to dance.
In the busy bar, Darcy's sitting alone at a table. She toys with the straws in her drink. Detective White, dressed as a waiter, comes up to the table.
The team outside says the area is clear. How are you doing?
I'm okay, but he's 45 minutes late. Where is he?
Just stay cool. He's probably being as careful as we are. Meantime, I'll bring another man over.
Okay.
The detective walks away with her glass. Darcy looks around the bar. Her eyes open wide and she stares as someone approaches the table.
Hi, sorry. I'm late.
Craig, what are you doing here?
I got your message to meet you here at 9. It was great to hear from you. I was really hoping you'd take me up on my offer.
Detectives surround the table.
Detective DeSalva, what's going on here?
Well, that's my lunch, Aaron.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
How's that right? You left a message for Darcy. Don't want to meet you here.
She emailed me.
So I suppose you still have this message?
I didn't think I'd need it, so I deleted it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you and I are going to spend a little time talking about that message. You better get your facts straight.
A hand is placed on Craig Sheridan's shoulder.
I see. Nice.
Craig rises and walks calmly away, followed by two detectives.
I'm not sure about this.
Look, Darcy, we already know Firth was set up, right? I mean, how convenient was that he was the one with the yearbook with Firth's photo in it? I bet you had some beef with him from the past, decided to lay the murders on him. Come on, let's go.
De Salva escorts her outside. His cell phone rings.
De Salva, I'm on my way. We think we found Aaron's necklace. Detective White will take you home.
Well, shouldn't I go?
Go home, Darcy. Stay out of this.
De Salva runs to his car, gets in and drives off. Detective White's with Darcy. Darcy wears an asymmetric black dress with the diamante brooch Aaron gave her on the strap over her left shoulder. There's a black flower in her hair. She's dropped off by her apartment building.
Thank you.
Listen, that guy tries to contact you again. You let us know first thing, okay?
Good night.
White. Yeah, I'll be right there.
Darcy approaches the building's front door. A man in a coat and wearing black gloves is waiting in the dark.
Hey. You had me arrested.
The date she pepper sprayed.
Where are you going? Hey, I just want to talk.
A car pulls up.
What are you doing here?
She climbs into a Mercedes.
Thank you for saving me.
The car drives off, leaving the date on the sidewalk. At the precinct.
Okay, come on, Lee, once more. So, you were in your box, you heard a noise.
Yeah, noise and lights. Noise and lights.
Somebody pulling into the alley.
Yeah, I don't get a lot of visitors there.
So someone gets out of the car.
Yeah, got out, got something out of the car, and I didn't see what that was.
Oh, Petey, sure you saw what that was. That was the girl.
No, I didn't see that clear.
But you saw enough to know that it was a man dumping that body. All right, now this is what I need from you, Petey. I need a license plate. You know, a color or something like that.
Yeah, it was dark, and then next thing, this guy's backing up, and he almost hits me. I swear to God, I thought that was going to be it. I thought I was going to be smeared all over the bumper of that station wagon.
Station wagon?
Yeah. Didn't I tell you that before?
No, you didn't tell me that. Now you're sure about that,
absolutely.
Right? You sure it was a station wagon?
Absolutely. Station wagon.
De Salva to White.
Let's pull the files on all the men Aaron Kelly dated. I need to know which one owns a station wagon.
Gotcha.
What about the drink? Officer.
White goes to De Salva's desk.
I was just on with the DMV. Turns out there's a 2001 Mercedes wagon registered to this guy.
De Salva reads.
Oh, my God.
He gets to his feet. De Salva calls a number.
Hi, this is Darcy. I can't take your call right now, but leave a message and I'll get back to you.
Darcy, this is Vince De Salva. I already tried to call your cell, but I couldn't get an answer. Anyway, listen, I've got some new information, so if you could please call me immediately.
In the Mercedes.
Talk about being in the right place at the right time. What were you doing there anyway?
Darcy, I think I'm onto something.
You do? What?
All my notes are back in my place. Do you mind?
Okay.
She stares at Paul Nash.
Are you sure she made it inside when you dropped her off?
She made it across the street. Then you called and I headed in. I didn't see her up to her apartment.
All right, let's get a radio unit out to her place, have them check it out. Give me an address on Nash. I want to run a forensic check on his car.
Right.
White leaves an anxious-looking De Salva. The Mercedes sweeps along an unlit road flanked by trees. The headlights are reflected on the wet surface. The station wagon pulls up on a paved driveway beside a house. Darcy and Paul get out of the vehicle. He locks it, and they walk along the side of the house.
You know, I'm surprised, because you strike me as a city boy.
Well, I do have a place on the west side, but I can't get any work done there. This is where I do all of my writing. I have my notes here, my research here. Besides, you strike me as a girl who could use a breath of fresh air right about now.
You know, that might just be what the doctor ordered.
He opens a door for her and she enters. Detective White.
Got the report back from Myth. Nash has an apartment on 8th Avenue, but the management says he hasn't been there in a couple days.
Has he got any other addresses?
Nothing on the city or state tax rolls. If he's got a place he's taking these girls to, he's sure not advertising it.
DeSalva rubs his forehead.
What kind of wagon did you say he was driving again?
2001 Mercedes. Why?
Well, after 99, all Mercedes came with the built-in GPS anti-theft systems. Get the manufacturer on the line.
Boss, that's going to be tough this time of night.
Well, that's why you better stop talking, because if Darcy Scott shows up dead, I'm going to remember you're the one who didn't see her inside. Yeah, this is DeSalva. I need a GPS system. You know, one of the ones that can tune into a specific target frequency. I'll give you all the time you need, just as long as it's in my hands in 5 minutes. I'm on my way down.
Oh, this is nice.
The living room.
From what you were saying, I was expecting a writer's garret.
Well, I like the quiet, but I can't drop below a certain comfort level. I'm sorry if that shatters any illusions.
No, I'm all for comfort levels.
Well, why don't you look around, make yourself comfortable, and I'll fix us drinks while we talk.
Okay.
She watches as the smiling Paul goes to a door in the hallway.
It's really peaceful here. Must be great to be able to escape from the city.
She fails to see Ellen's ring on the rug by her feet.
So, what was it you came up with?
Well, I thought about what you said about Craig Sheridan and his intense connection to his twin sister, and the obsession he seems to still be living with.
Yeah, but the police checked him out and he came up clean. He just didn't strike me as somebody that could do something like that.
Ah, remember what I told you about the profile?
The guy you're looking for is the last guy that you would suspect.
Paul is in the dressing room tying a white bow tie. He puts on a wig.
Craig Sheridan may seem nice, but he's one of the rich.
Well, just because he's rich, that doesn't make him a killer.
It makes them the type to judge people by what they've got. The type to stop his sister from being with the one she was born to love because he wasn't rich enough.
Seated, she inadvertently treads on the ring. Darcy looks down, sees it, and picks it up. She turns it in her fingers. Her eyes widen when she sees the letter E on it. She turns, eyes bulging as she gazes at the dressing room door. She rises. She runs to the front door. It's locked.
Don't worry. Locked it up tight. No one will bother us.
Paul is dressed in white shirt and tails. Darcy runs to her bag and rummages through it.
You know, I had another little thought.
She sees her cell phone in his hands. He places it in an inside pocket.
There's no rule that says we can't dance while we talk now, is there?
His hands behind his back, he walks right up to her. His face is heavily made up with foundation. He strokes her bare arm.
What do you think, Darcy?
He pulls her to him.
Would you like to dance?
DeSalva and White are in a car.
Miller, this is DeSalva. What do we have on the Mercedes location?
Yeah, the car's parked at 40.58 degrees north, 71.11 degrees west. That map's out to Pelham. It's just off the parkway.
Copy that. Miller, notify local authorities having backup at the location. We're going north.
White pulls out, about turns, and they set off. Paul presses a switch on the living room wall.
I'm in the mood for you.
The glitter ball effect. Paul picks up a gift package from a chair. He almost strokes it as he crosses over to Darcy.
I bought these.
Silver dance shoes. Darcy stares at him.
You don't like my gift?
No. No, they're beautiful. It's so generous of you.
The box in his hands, he bends down. He lifts up her right foot.
Put them on.
She grimaces as he forces on the high-heeled shoe and fastens it.
Oh.
She keeps her eyes fixed on him. In the car, De Silva looks at his cell phone with the GPS coordinates.
Right, so next exit, we go north. 10.
There is.
They move to the inside lane and prepare to turn off the highway. Darcy and Paul dance.
Oh, isn't this perfect? Dancing, just the three of us.
The three of us?
Oh, he's always here.
Now that I have you, maybe I don't need him anymore.
That's wonderful. I'm honored.
Oh, I want you to be more than honored.
I want you to love it. I want you...
Love me?
Paul, you know I care about you.
Charlie! Call me Charlie.
Hold his name.
He's the one who always worries.
What did he worry about?
Oh, about everything. When our mother used to beat us, he was the one who always said sorry. And when she came home from dancing, he would rub her feet. But I had to show some pride. I had to take action.
What kind of action?
I was. Become. I did it with their own belt. I beat them. I whipped them the way they used to beat us. Only I didn't stop. I wasn't going to give them a chance to hurt us again.
De Salva and White turn onto a dark, tree-lined avenue. The dance continues.
Worry, 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 worry. He's worried about Craig Sheridan not liking us. That he didn't think we were good enough. That's why I had to get Anne. But then she turned on us too. And as always, I was the one who had to make it right. I want someone who can love me.
Me? Yes, I think I can do that, Charlie.
She rests her head on his shoulder. Paul, Charlie, hugs her. The car, now with a red light flashing, stops, and De Salva consults a map.
We know. Try to figure it out. You go to the right.
Sure?
No, I'm not sure. Just go.
White turns right. At the house, Charlie spins Darcy away from him, then back.
Dancing. It's like making love, only set to music. Oh.
He sways and bends her back over.
Now the song's over, isn't it, Darcy?
Maybe. Maybe we could dance some more.
No, I don't think so. Maybe later. There's a time for dancing, and there's a time for romance.
He presses his lips to hers. She recoils and he lays her on the floor. He lies down and leans over her.
You lied to me, didn't you, Darcy?
No, I didn't. I'm happy. I'm happy we're together.
Oh, yes, you did. You're just like all the others. Playing games, treating me like an idiot. Paul, he always believed. Give me the benefit of the doubt. What I had to be the strong one. I had to be the one.
Don't do this, Charlie, please, don't.
All you had to do was just love me.
She tugs the brooch from her dress and stabs his arm. She gets to her feet and runs out to the hall. She glances at the locked door. Seeing him come into the hall, she runs into the dressing room and locks it.
Darcy, why are you doing this? Darcy, open this door.
I'm getting mad at you. Very mad. Darcy, open the door!
Darcy runs deeper into the room and crouches down behind the freezer. De Salva and White, a squad car behind them, stopped by another police car at the house. The detectives run to the door as Charlie breaks down the door to the dressing room. Framed in the doorway, Charlie smooths the wig and brushes down his sleeves.
that was stupid. You're gonna be so sorry.
The detectives run around the outside of the house. One of the uniformed cops carries a battering ram. Charlie advances further into the dressing room. In the mirror, he sees a drape by the freezer move. Darcy comes out from her hiding place. He grabs her. He pushes her to the floor and lies over her, his hands round her throat.
No!
Outside, two cops swing the battering ram. Leaving Darcy on the floor, Charlie gets up.
Nash!
Gun drawn, DeSalva sees Darcy lying motionless.
It's over, Nash!
Charlie is behind the dressing room door with a gun in his hand. As Charlie's eyes flit from side to side, DeSalva tosses a cushion into the room. Charlie steps out and shoots at it, then turns to face DeSalva, who shoots him. Charlie falls back. DeSalva and White, their guns still raised, enter the room. Darcy thrashes about, then opens her eyes.
It's okay, it's okay. I got you, I got you, it's okay. It's okay.
DeSalva cradles her in his arms. White stoops over Charlie, who has blood trickling from his mouth.
I think this one could have loved us.
His head lolls to one side. Later.
I'm good.
As the body is wheeled out, DeSalva goes to the seated Darcy, who has a blanket round her shoulders.
That was too close, Darcy. You okay?
She holds Ellen's ring.
She was with me the whole time.
She kisses the signet ring.
Thank you, Aaron.
Come on, let's get you out of here.
The detective helps her up, and as they walk out of the living room past a concerned-looking White, DeSalva places his arm round her shoulders. She places an arm round his waist as they walk along the side of the house. ITFC audio description by James O'Hara.